Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, no co-host today, and start off with a message to everyone. So Brad, as you all know, lives in Jacksonville in Florida, and it seems like most of the West Coast, actually a lot of Florida, is in danger of Hurricane Ian. So just first off, thoughts out to not only Brad and his family, but everyone in Florida right now, and hope everyone stays safe, whether you're listening to this or not. Just really hoping that for everyone is okay from this. And yeah, I know Canada East Coast just recently got hit with a big hurricane as well. So thinking about everyone this time of year. But we are a fantasy show, and so I will kind of have to soldier on without Brad this week. And so a bit of a different format instead of rankings debate, in a sense. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna be kind of a one-way debate. But what I'll do is I'm going through my rankings and I'm looking at the expert consensus ranking for those players, and just kind of seeing where I differ from a lot of the consensus. So my plan is just to go position by position, and we'll talk about the players I'm highest, but also highest on compared to consensus, but also lowest on compared to consensus. So we'll start at quarterback. And frankly, the top eight quarterbacks that I have in my rankings are all across the board either the same ranking as consensus or one spot off. So, and that's making my rankings, I did really think it was a clear top eight. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. That's my top eight in order. And as mentioned, Josh Allen, QB1, and that is the expert consensus QB1 as well for the week. So, yeah, all those players, like Hurts and Jackson, I have flipped for the consensus. I have Hurts at 2, Jackson 3. The consensus has it Jackson 2, Hurts 3. So it's all really close, the top 8. The real differences start at QB9. And, you know, even just like within that, the top 15, there's quite a bit of difference. So 9, I've got Derek Carr, who's 3 spots higher than consensus. But the biggest difference is Marcus Mariota. Playing the Cleveland Browns, I have Mariota at QB10. The consensus is 16. So among my, if you look in the top 15 quarterbacks, that's the biggest difference I have for any player. And a lot of the big differences in this range are I'm higher than consensus than most players. Like looking at Carson Wentz, for instance, his expert consensus ranking is QB 18. I've got him at QB 13. And even like Jacoby Brissett, his expert consensus ranking is QB 23. I've got him at QB 17 going against the Atlanta defense. So yeah, I guess 6-6-6, right? Six spots higher on consensus than for both Browns, Falcons, quarterbacks. Maybe I have a little faith in those defenses, but again, I'm 6 spots higher than Mariota. And again, on QB 10, I think Mariota should be started in a lot of spots. I know a couple leagues where I have Mariota, like I'm going to play him ahead of Tom Brady. I'm going to play him ahead of Russell Wilson. I think he, not only passing wise, but rushing wise, he can provide a consistent enough volume and production to make it worth it. So, like, I've got Mariota ahead of Aaron Rodgers, 1 spot in my rankings, 2 spots ahead of Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, I clearly elevated Mariota up and believe in him. And then, yeah, so I mentioned 6 spots higher than consensus on Mariota. 6 spots higher on his opponent this week, Jacoby Brissett, but also 6 spots higher than consensus on the former Browns quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Now with the Carolina Panthers playing the Cardinals this week, he's actually ranked outside the top 25, but I have him at QB 20. And so, yeah, so there's that. Also looking, my biggest differences, however, are the QBs that I'm a lot lower on. And it's because I'm raising so many quarterbacks into this range, I end up dropping quite a lot. So starting with Matthew Stafford, I'm 8 spots lower on consensus than Stafford. He's at QB 14. I've got him at QB 22. The truth is, I have 0 Stafford in fantasy, whether it's redraft or dynasty. So I've got no bearing this week on would I start Stafford or not over these guys. So maybe that's a little difficult. 49ers defense is pretty tough, to be honest, and they've been shutting down their opponents quite well. So I don't expect a lot of high scoring. I'm going to downgrade a lot of the Rams players. You know, obviously not Cooper Kupp, but Stafford himself, I don't think, will have a good fantasy game. Like, I've got Stafford at 22, Russell Wilson at 23, and Tom Brady at 24. That's 13 spots lower than consensus on Wilson and 14 spots lower than consensus on Brady. Here's the thing. Like, me having Brady at QB 24, I think I'm going to look at his finishes so far. Last week against the Packers, he was QB 19. And that's his only time he's done better than QB 24 this year. to have him at QB 11 in consensus, I kind of feel it's a lot of people are just, I mean, I know it's against the Chiefs. They're probably expecting a big shootout, but frankly, the way Brady's been performing this year, he's not worthy of being started. And so I know across the board, I'm benching him in every league I have him in. That's going to be for guys like Mariota, I already mentioned. I'm trying to think what else. Daniel Jones. Actually, I think that league let me see. I'm gonna pull that league up now. Because I think I may have put a waiver claim in on a quarterback, or I might go, now that first come, first serve is available, I might actually go pick up a quarterback. So yeah, my options there. If I don't pick up anyone else, I'm going to start Daniel Jones, which I did last week. And honestly, let me see. Week 3, scoring Daniel Jones, 13 points. Actually, that was the wrong decision. Brady outscored Daniel Jones by exactly one fantasy point. I lost by a lot more than 1 point would indicate. So, you know what? Marcus Mariota's available. That's another league I'm going to start Mariota. Not sure about dropping Brady necessarily. I'm going to drop Daniel Jones, though. So that's one thing. Because where do I have Jones ranked this week? QB 18, which is actually 3 spots higher than consensus. So yeah, I'm definitely going to play Mariota. So yeah, just picked up Mariota. So yeah, there's 2 leagues where I'm going to start Mariota for Brady. I know there's another league where I've got Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady, so that feels like I really should just start Hurts every week. Like Brady's really just there as a bye week fill in for Hurts, and I know that's kind of a stranger league format anyway, so I won't get into too many details, but even though it's a single quarterback league, having a backup is actually important. I don't know if Brady's the best backup, but yeah, so yeah, I think that the only league where I'm starting Brady this week is it's a 2 QB league. And because I lost Mac Jones, it's not super flex. It's start 2 QB. So I have to start 2 quarterbacks. Because, I mean, I look at some of my like receivers and running backs. Well, actually, they're maybe not that great. But regardless, without having Mac Jones now, I only have 2 quarterbacks in Rodgers and Brady. So that's a league where I have no choice but to start Brady. It's also probably not a league where I'm super competitive. It's a Devy league. I'm actually maybe trying to gear towards a rebuild, which that quarterback room is not a good quarterback room for a rebuild. I've still got, you know, an extra first next year. So that team needs some work. But for now, Brady's in the lineup every week. That's literally the only spot I'm starting him in. A league where I don't even really care to win. So any competitive leagues I have this year, any redraft leagues, any dynasty leagues where I'm going for it, Brady's not in my lineup. And same with Russell Wilson. That's why I've got Matthew Stafford. Like all 3 of those older quarterbacks, they're outside the top 20 for me. I've got Jacoby Brissett, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, and Baker Mayfield ahead of them. And just because they've been producing better this year. And I mean, like Geno Smith, like we can laugh, but he plays the Lions this week and they've been allowing a ton of production. So QB 19 for Geno Smith isn't that unusual to me, just based on again, all these matchups in this. So yeah, I'm fading Wilson, Brady, and again, I don't have Stafford, but I would fade him hard in my lineups if I did have him. I actually just dropped Russell Wilson in a redraft league. Did I do that? Too many leagues to remember, but I'm pretty sure I dropped him. Yeah, I didn't even pick up another quarterback. I just who did I even pick up? I picked up extra depth at whatever position. Was it Brandon Ayuk? Yeah, someone dropped Brandon Ayuk, so I think I just picked up Ayuk because my receivers aren't great. I've got Jamar Chase, but then after that, I kind of really could use a wide receiver too, so maybe, yeah. So I just, you know, any leagues where I already had Carson Wentz, and Wentz is doing me better than Wilson, so I'll just start Wentz the rest of the year. It's a single quarterback league. Like, I almost thought Wilson was like a sabotage drop there, where I'm kind of almost hoping someone else picks him up, namely whoever my opponent is the next coming week and plays him against me, because, yeah, right now, hard to have any faith in the Buccaneers or Broncos passing offense enough to play those quarterbacks in fantasy. So that's the QB talk for me. I guess before continuing, I get to talk about the number one players we have. I think actually for Brad and I, and Brad did mention who at least his number one players were, for Brad and I, we both had the same wide receiver one as we did last week, which was different. For those that remember, Brad had Cooper Kupp at wide receiver one. I had Stephon Diggs. We're actually maintaining that. I'm keeping Diggs at one this week. Kind of matches the fact that I've got Allen at QB one. Just thinking that Ravens secondary is allowing a lot of production through the air. So I think Diggs will feast. He's wide receiver one for me. Can't really blame Kupp. He is my wide receiver too. So the consensus rankings do have it Kupp one, Diggs two. So the consensus would match what Brad's saying. But yeah, that's... it's not like you're benching either. Even in a start one wide receiver league, I'm sure there's enough room at the flex spot to play the other. So If, I mean, actually, to be honest, that's probably, there's probably not a whole lot of teams that have Cup and Diggs, maybe some dynasty rosters that have had him in the past. Any redraft team, though, I think, I mean, they were both going in the first round, so would have been really difficult to envision Cup going late enough to where you could take Cup at the end of the first and then Diggs in the early second. Because any league where Cup's going late enough, it's probably because someone reached on say, a Diggs or, man, everyone loves running backs. But regardless, that's not necessarily a decision people need to make. But just, again, we like talking about who our top player is. And it's funny, we've had, Brad and I, both three straight weeks of Jonathan Taylor as RB1, Travis Kelce as tight end one. And week four, we both decide to change that. For Kelce, it's pretty obvious. If he's not tight end one, I think we all know who it is. It's Mark Andrews. And looking at the consensus ranking, everyone's flipped. This week, Andrews one, Kelce two. So everyone's falling in line, whether it's Brad, myself, or just the general consensus rankings. Running back, a little tricky, though. So Jonathan Taylor actually still is the consensus RB1 for the week going up against the Titans. However, we both had different opinions on that. I've got to remember who Brad selected. I'll go with what I know. So I have Nick Chubb actually as the RB1. Falcons defense, it's not, I mean, I haven't looked too much into the numbers, but that's not, I mean, they've got Grady Jarrett, so they've got one really talented defensive lineman. I don't know that that's enough to stop Chubb. And to be fair, Nick Chubb is the RB1 right now in fantasy. A lot of it is touchdown based. I think he could score another touchdown against the Falcons. So, so that's what it is for me. That's what I thought. Brad also took Saquon Barkley as his running back one. And he's my RB2 this week against the Bears. So, with the way Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon performed against the Bears a couple weeks ago, and even like Damian Pierce had a lot of opportunities last week against the Bears, I think. Barkley at one makes sense too. So, right now the consensus top five is interesting because the top four are the same as my personal top four, just different order. My order is, again, I mentioned Nick Chubb at one, Barkley two, I have Jonathan Taylor at three, and then McCaffrey at four. In the half PPR consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros, it's actually Taylor one, McCaffrey two, and then Nick Chubb three. So, I kind of felt like it was the top three, and then McCaffrey is an easy four, but it does seem like a top four right now. So actually, it's funny how on all four of those players, I'm two spots different than consensus, whether it's too higher or too lower. That's kind of funny how that works out. In consensus, the RB5 is Austin Eckler. I've actually got him at RB11. And it's funny because when I first did my rankings, he was, I think, RB15. Like I was pretty low on him. And then, it's the Houston Texans, and like you saw Khalil Herbert have a good week against them. So for the matchup, I actually ended up raising him. A little shocked that he's RB5, and I think people expect a bounce back, but he has not been producing well this year. And so I've kind of got him in a range. Like he's one spot behind Cordarrelle Patterson, one spot ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like two spots ahead of Jamal Williams. Like those are all running backs that I think can catch passes, and I think that's the common theme there. And so that's kind of why, to me, Eckler falls in that line. My RB5 for the week is actually Derrick Henry. His consensus ranking is RB6. And then getting to my RB6 is where we find a massive difference. And this I don't understand. I mean, I was higher than consensus on this player last week at RB12. And I think he was like RB19 in consensus. And RB12 was still too low for James Robinson, to be honest. So RB6 to me almost feels low, to be honest. Like I think he's the RB3 right now in fantasy points and half point PPR. Like, only Chubb and Barkley, I think, have outscored him. Here, let me pull that up. I know for a fact James Robinson's in the top five, and I'm pretty sure it's RB3 in half-point PPR. Sorry about that. So, I'm almost baffled that his consensus ranking this week is RB16. It does seem like, I don't know, are people really still downgrading him for Travis Etienne being there? Because it seems like Etienne's had no effect on Robinson's production. So, the fact that I felt I was low on Robinson at RB6, and yet I'm 10 spots higher than consensus. Probably tells me I'm kind of in the right spot, but also, man, because to me, James Robinson's a must-start across the board. I mean, even like Derrick Henry against the Colts, like I don't really love that matchup. I mean, I don't necessarily love the Robinson matchup against the Eagles either, and I think maybe that's ultimately why I was content selling him on RB6, but if you're looking at his production, I mean, he's been in half point PPR, he's been the RB8, 7, and 7, 3 weeks in a row. Overall on the season, again, let me pull this up. But yeah, I find it baffling that, I don't know, people are really seemingly slow to react on James Robinson. I wish I had him in Dynasty, but all my Robinson shares are in redraft, because I think, especially late in the redraft season, once we got the news that he was going to be healthy and was looking to play week one, it was, man, he's going so late, it's a steal. And I remember even joking with Akili, my good friend who's been on the podcast before. I remember there was a draft where he had drafted Etienne, and then I drafted Robinson like 7-8 rounds later. And then I think, oh, thanks for drafting my handcuff 7 rounds before me. And he kind of laughed, and I wasn't really kidding, to be honest. I kind of felt like, man, if all the talk in training camp is Robinson's going to get this job, and both coming off injuries, so it's not like I get Keeley's injury, you know, suffered at the end of December is a lot different than a Liz Frank injury suffered in like August or September for Etienne last year. So recovery time, still kind of though, both players coming off injury. Robinson has produced 2 years in the NFL. Etienne still didn't take an NFL snap before this season. So I know I didn't do a running back to avoid, but at the end of draft season, I really kind of regretted not making Travis Etienne that guy, because I felt, not so much in Dynasty, I was okay with his Dynasty price, and that still seemed like that was too high anyway. Now, in hindsight, that was a mistake, but his redraft price to me seemed ridiculous. Like, third round for a guy we've never seen do it, who could, was looking like maybe at best being a 50-50 committee, it seems like it's definitely not that. So, and I was correct. James Robinson is the RB3 right now in fantasy. Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, James Robinson. Half point PPR. Chubb and Barkley are really close, separated by 1.6 points. In terms of points per game, Robinson's at 17.8 points per game in half point PPR. But there's only 8 running backs above 15, and one of them is Khalil Herbert, another one's Jamal Williams. And it's funny, Williams and Swift are both, Swift is RB6, Williams is RB7. That's, you know what, I've often compared DeAndre Swift to Alvin Kamara. This Lions offense, which, you know, Dan Campbell used to be with the Saints, so maybe it's not that a stretch, this seems like 2017 Saints rushing offense, where you had 2 top 6 running backs in Kamara and Ingram. So I know I talked about in the offseason, I felt outside of maybe Kareem Hunt and I suppose A.J. Dillon, to me, I thought Jamal Williams is the best handcuff running back to have. Not Tony Pollard, definitely not Alexander Mattison. And I ended up with a few shares of him, so happy there. Speaking of Jamal Williams, like again, I've got him at RB13 this week. Right, at one spot ahead of Khalil Herbert. Like those two guys have kind of taken over their backfields, and yeah, it's going to be them. So borderline top 12 guys. So I mentioned Robinson, my RB6. After that, the real biggest difference is, again, I mentioned Eckler at RB11 and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire at RB12. I know he's playing the Bucks. I get that. Tough run defense. But he's still a pass-catching back with a ton of touchdown upside on a team that probably will score a lot of touchdowns. He's RB27 in consensus. I don't understand that. I think it's probably one of my biggest player differences than consensus this week. I'm 15 spots higher on Edwards-Helaire at RB12. I guess looking at RB18, I've got Damian Harris, and that's 15 spots higher than consensus. I'm kind of looking at Harris now at 18. Like, I've got Javonte Williams at 19, Kamara at 20, Sanders at 21. Yeah, I could probably put Damian Harris there. So maybe I won't, by the end of this, won't be 15 spots higher than consensus, but I'll be honest, I actually had Edwards-Helaire higher. Just like James Robinson, Edwards-Helaire is the RB4 in Dynasty, or in Fantasy right now. His points per game are identical to Cordarrelle Patterson, 15.7 points per game in half-point PPR. Like, that's your RB4 and RB5, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Cordarrelle Patterson. And so, it is a little strange that, like, he's been producing, and I can't take Edwards-Helaire out of the top 12. So, yeah, it's going to be, again, probably my biggest difference on consensus throughout the week. So yeah, that's kind of where the biggest differences at running back are. I know we usually go to the top, we usually talk top 40. Kind of looking through my top 40, there's nothing major difference. Like Damian Pierce, I'm 8 spots lower than consensus. Playing the Chargers defense, I don't love that. He's at RB19, I've got him at RB27. But outside of that, my biggest differences are all just the players that I feel like I don't understand why they're being ranked so low. Namely, James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like those two to me are just such extreme differences. Like even Kareem Hunt, I've got him at RB16 at 10 spots higher than consensus. You know, Hunt's been pretty great. He's the RB14 right now, as again, the backup running back. So, I mean, he's doing better than Mixon. I do have Mixon ranked higher, but yeah, so a lot of my biggest difference is just I'm elevating the players that I think I don't understand why they're so low at running back. Now for the wide receivers. So again, I already mentioned I've got Diggs at one, Cooper Kupp at two. Really, the top five players in the consensus ranking are my top five. The order's not the same. But Diggs, Kupp, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams. Those are my top five in that order, and that's the consensus top five. Again, the consensus one is Kupp, not Diggs, so that's kind of where I'm defining consensus a little bit. Different start at right at wide receiver six, though. So the consensus ranking on Jaylen Waddle is wide receiver 10, but I've got him at wide receiver six. So far, he's been more consistent than Tyreek Hill, which is kind of what I thought would happen. The amount of targets he had last year, the already connection with Tua, I thought Hill could have like a higher ceiling, but a much lower floor. So I'd rather start Waddle over Hill most weeks. Now I've got Waddle at eight, Waddle at six, Hill at eight. The consensus is Hill at six, Waddle at 10. So looking at the top 12 wide receivers, Waddle actually being at wide receiver six, four spots higher than consensus, is one of my biggest differences. The other is Marquise Brown. I've got him at wide receiver 11, but the consensus ranking has him at wide receiver 17, so six spots higher. So looking at my top 12, that is my biggest difference. But yeah, not a major difference than, say, like Edwards-Helaire, for instance, or even James Robinson, right? So much bigger difference threshold at the top 12 running backs than the top 12 wide receivers. My differences kind of start, like I've got Curtis Samuel at wide receiver 17. Whereas he's ranked at wide receiver 33, so 16 spots higher than consensus. Definitely one of my biggest differences. I think, hey, look at that. Tyler Boyd. Is it shocking that he's my biggest difference? Because I'm constantly, you know, just talking about how I have so many shares of Tyler Boyd. He's my wide receiver 30, and the consensus ranking is wide receiver 51. I'll be honest, like, he had a massive week last week, and there's, you know, T. Higgins maybe dealing with a concussion. It's a Thursday night game, a short week. I know Hayden Hurst isn't 100% healthy. I'm shocked that Tyler Boyd's outside the top 50. I still have Higgins ranked ahead of Boyd, but they're only eight spots difference. Higgins at 22, Boyd at 30. So, yeah, that's kind of a massive one. I would say another big one is Mike Evans. I've got him down, just coming off the suspension, and again, this Bucs defense not operating well. I've got him at wide receiver 28. That might be low. It's 16 spots lower than consensus. He's at wide receiver 12. I know he'll probably see the volume, but man, again, it's tough to trust this Bucs offense. Maybe I am too low on Mike Evans. Maybe that is someone that needs to kind of... Yeah, I could maybe justify even putting him ahead of T. Higgins. Like, I've got McLaurin at 20, Devontae Smith at 21. I could see Mike Evans kind of fitting in right there at 22. Which would be a 10-spot difference on consensus still. Probably still in a range where you want to start him, but yeah, a little lower than... I'm just, again, lower on the Bucs offense in general. Because the problem to me is that the offensive line, they're down to two of their week one, or their ideal week one starters. I mean, they lost two of their centers before week one, so they're down to, you know, two of their five main starters on the offensive line. So especially that left side of that line is really exposed right now. To continue on the ranking trends, this is where a lot of the bigger differences are. I'm 19 spots higher than consensus on Noah Brown. I also, like, here's the thing, I don't have Michael Gallup ranked this week. With players who are out and missed games, I'm not putting them in my rankings until they come back. So, like, I don't have Michael Gallup ranked because I'm operating under the assumption he continues to be out and not play. And that's kind of what's influencing this ranking, whereas I have Noah Brown as the Cowboys wide receiver too. In that regard, 39 almost seems low, but I've kind of got, like, I've got Mac Hollins at 37, Greg Dortch at 38, Noah Brown 39. All these guys that no one expected and are still producing. I mean, I think they've all outproduced DK Metcalf and DJ Moore, yet I've got Metcalf at 33, Moore at 34. Here's a surprising one. Romeo Dubs at wide receiver 35, and I'm seven spots higher than consensus on him. So everyone's got him at 42. Or at least the ECR has him at 42. The ECR actually has Alan Lazard higher at 39. I don't know. I think Romeo Dubs is the number one receiver on the Packers. And, I mean, he led the team in targets and catches last week. And, I mean, maybe Lazard's not 100% healthy still coming off the injury a couple weeks ago. But the way he's running routes, the way he's catching the ball. And, I mean, he caught every single target. He had eight targets. He caught them all for, I think it was like 75 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's going to... For sure, in, you know, give Rodgers confidence in trusting him. I have a feeling once Sammy Watkins is healthy and ready to come back, he's not going back to the starting lineup, at least not for Romeo Dubs. I think he's, what he's doing as a rookie wide receiver in a Packers offense that we don't expect it to ever happen. I mean, this is, Adams didn't do this as a rookie. I don't think Jordy Nelson did this as a rookie. So, I mean, I'm all in on Romeo Dubs. I think he's the Packers' number one receiver, and in my rankings, he's going to be the highest ranked Packers receiver, I'd imagine, throughout the rest of the season. Even 35 seems low, but we'll see where this week takes us. Yeah, so I guess quickly finishing up on the tight ends, there aren't that many big differences. I already mentioned Andrews at 1, Kelsey 2, which matches the consensus. I guess the next group, it's funny, between tight end 3 and tight end 8, I'm either 4 or 5 spots difference on consensus. So it seems like that's the main group. Like the people I have in that group, they're all in the top 12 in consensus rankings. I'm just maybe pushing these guys up further. So I've got Zach Ertz at tight end 3, Tyler Higbee at tight end 4, Pat Freiermuth at tight end 5. And the reason, I think they're all like top five, top six in tight end targets. And that's really what I'm chasing. And I mean, for a while, Tyler Higbee was leading the league in tight end targets. Now it's Mark Andrews. So those guys, it's just chasing the targets. Gerald Everett, I think I pumped him up a little bit. If we find out Keenan Allen's going to play, I would be something where I might consider dropping him, but I have him at tight end 6 right now. His consensus is 11. That's probably around where I'd keep him if we knew Keenan Allen was playing. But for now, he's at 6. Darren Waller at 7. Kyle Pitts at 8. Hawkinson at 9. I've got George Kittle at tight end 10, and I'm usually like one of the biggest George Kittle fans, but he's kind of have to show me a little more than what he did that last week before I put him inside the top 5, which is his consensus ranking is 10 and 5. I like that the consensus is caught up on Tyler Conklin. I have him at tight end 11 like I did last week, but now I'm suddenly only 2 spots higher than consensus instead of like 7 or 8 spots. So he, dude, just keeps getting targets. And honestly, 11 seems low because he's 4th in the league in targets. Tyler Conklin has as many targets as Travis Kelce. I really should have like put him tight end 6 like where I have Gerald Everett, even tight end 5 or Freiermuth, but maybe it just concerns with the Jets offense more than anything. And to round up the top 12, I've got David Njoku at tight end 12. Dallas Goedert at tight end 13 is 7 spots lower than consensus. Until we get to outside the top 20, we don't see a bigger difference in my rankings from consensus. But that makes sense. I've always kind of been lower on Goddard all throughout this year anyway. So that continues there. Yeah, this was just a quick rankings update on kind of some things I'm doing. I do want to kind of continue going in this episode, though. So there are a few things I would like to talk about, one of which is players I'm looking to trade away. And I think it's the one player to me that kind of screams ticking time bomb is Najee Harris. They talked about it in the preseason. He had suffered a Lisfranc strain. And again, like I've made this comparison before. I'm a CFL fan. I make no attempt to hide that. The best quarterback of the CFL this year, Nathan Rourke, just as a second-year quarterback, just torching the league. And I mean, he only started, I think, 3 games as a rookie. So like, this is really his full rookie season starting. He was just, you know, wrecking the league. He was on his way to an MOP award. Even though he might only play half a season, I think he's still probably going to be the most outstanding Canadian as well. We'll see. I think Curly Gittens, which is just an amazing name to say, by the way, at receiver, who's leading the league in receiving yards by Canadian. He's probably the East nominee for it, but I'd imagine Rourke, even in a half a season, still was playing so well that he'll probably get that most outstanding Canadian. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is Rourke had a Lisfranc strain, not a complete tear break like Travis Etienne suffered last year that cost him his entire rookie season, but a strain. And yet, the BC Lions' reaction to that and the Pittsburgh Steelers' reaction to the same injury, Najee Harris, Lisfranc strain, to me, the difference of their reaction speaks to probably the severity of the strain, but I'm still shocked that the BC Lions immediately had Nathan Rourke get surgery. And I think the idea is there by getting surgery, they're hoping that it's fully healed in time for the playoffs in October so that he can come back. Because frankly, I mean, they're second in the league right now, and there aren't enough good teams in the league to possibly think they're not going to make the playoffs. So like when they were, like at the time he was injured, they had lost 2 games. One of which was to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, 2-time defending champions, best team in the league. So it's you're almost like, okay, no, it counts as a loss, but I don't like, I'm not really worried about that. But no one they were doing so well that they could almost that far out say, we're going to make the playoffs. So let's get him ready for the playoffs. So in that sense, I do understand, because the Steelers can't be looking at, oh, he's injured before week three of the preseason and say, we're going to make the playoffs. Let's have him have surgery to hope he's there for the playoffs, because he's maybe, outside Deontay Johnson, their best player on offense. So they kind of also can't afford to have that happen with Najee. But the fact that they made him play in week three of the preseason after a Lisfranc strain just blew my mind, when I think at that point, maybe a month before, we saw Nathan Rourke immediately get a surgery for the same thing. So I kind of feel like Najee here, it's only a matter of time with this Lisfranc strain, the way they've just kind of pushed him and not forced him to miss any time. He's going to get seriously hurt. So all to say, I've got Najee Harris in one league. It's a salary cap contract league, and that can be a little tricky to navigate, but I also think it's maybe a good idea to talk about how I'm going to approach it. So then this was, I took him in the rookie draft, so his, in salary cap and contract leagues, rookie contracts are kind of like the NFL contracts, where they're a lot less expensive, they're cost controlled, like you know the exact amount it's going to be kind of year in, year out. And it's not something up for negotiation. It's not like a free agency. Well, we say in fantasy, we call them free agency auctions. But like the free agency period in the NFL, where, players can just go to the highest bidder. The rookie contracts, they always make less. They always talk about that. Like, oh, the best thing to do is have an elite quarterback on a rookie contract to maximize how little you're paying him to be able to pay everyone else and get a championship team around him. So all to say, what I want to do with Harris is, if I'm going to trade him, I want to trade him for another rookie contract. Because, I mean, my team's 3-0. I think I'm third or fourth. I'm fourth in points scored and defending champ. So this team looks like, I would say, a playoff contender. So I am thinking already. I mean, obviously, it's only 3 weeks in, but I just have to win all the games the rest of the season. But I'm also thinking, this is a team where I really have to look, what do I need in the playoffs? And my fear is that Najee Harris gets hurt at some point this season and I don't have access to him in the playoffs. So my thinking is, right now is a great time to move him. So I've been looking to pivot off of other players on rookie contracts. I noticed, like, Chase Edmonds, for instance, signed a free agency contract in the auction this year that really closely resembles a rookie contract in terms of the amount that's being spent on him. So, like, even if it's not a rookie contract, quote-unquote, it to me, it's a contract that operates like a rookie contract. So I guess what I can do is give the details on that. So looking at running back contracts, Najee Harris for his 2022 salary is $8.55 million, $9.26 million, and then $9.88 million. And Rally Sports Online, the salary cap is whatever the NFL salary cap is, so $200 million or whatever the exact amount is, just over $200 million. $208 million? I think it's $208 million. But whatever that amount is, that's what our salary cap is in this league. So looking at Harris, like, okay, I'm trying to look around, like, who are the players, specifically the players making less than him, to help myself save some cap space. So one of the first things I did was look at Javonte Williams. And, RSO, their rookie draft cap space allocation, works like the NFL draft. The whoever is the first overall pick will make a little bit more on their rookie contract than the second overall pick. And they make a little bit more, and it's just incrementally going down at each level. I mean, Najee Harris was taken before Javonte Williams in the rookie draft last year, so he makes more than Javonte Williams. That was the first thing I tried, was especially coming off the poor game to the 49ers where he got vultured with the touchdowns. I thought, okay, is the manager going to be a little sour? So I went and I want to see, would they give Williams and a third for Najee Harris? They didn't. So I know another manager has three players that are all on either rookie contracts three players on rookie contracts. So they've got Kenneth Walker, Damian Pierce, and Ramondre Stevenson. Now, Walker and Pierce would have 4 years left as opposed to three, but Stevenson makes the least out of them. So what I actually went with right now, I've got this offer sent out, still pending to be reviewed. I don't know if they've seen the offer yet, but giving up Najee Harris and my 23 third for Ramondre Stevenson and a 23 first. I want to see if that's going to be enough to be able to get having the extra 23 first will help me, because it'll be another trade chip I can use. But then also having a cheaper running back like Ramondre that I do like will help my cap space, specifically my cap space in future years, which I'd like to kind of help reduce a little bit. I mean, his salary is 1.95 and then 2.1 the next 2 years. So saving like $7.5 million. That's significant enough to, that's an extra player I could use somewhere. So, I'm going to see if this is worth it, that I get a first, but B, I save the money. So even if I lose a bit of production from Harris to Stevenson, I also kind of get out on Harris before this injury. So that's one thing. And again, that's the complexities of a, salary cap contract league. I think if you just have Najee Harris in any league, I would say try and trade him for other players, pivot down at running back and get another piece. Or can you add something to Harris to go up and get another elite piece, thinking that, okay, he's getting the workload. So yeah, Najee Harris, I think for sure is a guy that I want to target to trade away. Cause again, this Lisfranc strain, without, you know, having him rest, without having him take a week off or anything, I feel like it's not necessarily going to get better. Maybe it gets better after the bye week, but I mean, Najee Harris, where has he been? He's running back 17, 10.9 points per game in half point PPR. That's not awful, but it's not league winning either. I mean, it's a 0.1 point more than Austin Eckler, I guess. It's more than Dalvin Cook. So maybe that's talking about those guys being disappointments. So it's not to say that Harris has been a disappointment, but I also, again, feel like he's not produced. I mean, I can look up last year's numbers, but I'm pretty sure he was like the RB6 last year. So he was RB4 last year. Right. And so he's not producing those type of numbers this year. So I kind of want to see, do people kind of still have that value on him? I think that this would be a great time to get out on Najee Harris. I know I've sent out quite a few trade offers in a bunch of other leagues, but he's the one player and luckily I only have him in one league, but I would be trying to aggressively shop him in other leagues if I did have him just for that ticking time bomb aspect of that foot injury. I know I did make a couple trades recently, so I could share those just before we end here. So in the Full Press Fantasy Pod Dynasty League, the FPC Dynasty League, I traded away Tyler Lockett for a second. And I've been moving a lot of seconds in both directions this year, really just even in the last month. So I traded away Ayuk for a second. I traded away Tyler Lockett for a second. But I also acquired Mike Williams for 2 seconds and Carson Wentz for 2 seconds as well. So I've been just, you know, liquidating the players I don't want to acquire the players I do want. And I mean, not that I really wanted Wentz, but I needed a quarterback. And that was for a quarterback that looks like he's going to be the starter all year and has a chance to start in the future. That was the cheapest I could acquire one. So 2 seconds is kind of, for a starting quarterback in a super flex league, that's kind of where it's at. And Wentz has done well production wise. So that I have no qualms about. Maybe I overpaid a little bit on Mike Williams. He's inconsistent, right? I mean, the smash week 2 weeks ago was great. So it's just hoping for more of those types of performances. That's one league where, just this week I made the Tyler Lockett trade away. Again, trading Tyler Lockett to Gladys Louise Tyler, who we've had on the show before. And she gave me her 23 second. I know she wasn't in the playoffs last year, but as a younger team, like a Kyle Pitts team, and Kyle Pitts finally seems like he's kind of come alive. That might be like, I'm 10th in this league. So where's points scored? Yeah, so Gladys is ahead of me in the standings. I mean, well, there's actually basically everyone from 5th down to 12th in the FPC Dynasty League is 1-2. So it's all super close. Everyone is still alive for the playoffs, and I'm not saying I'm giving up on the playoffs either. I actually wanted to kind of just acquire another second so that if I am making a playoff push, I can go and buy another player. I just thought Lockett, he had the big boom game 2 weeks ago, and I thought that on the heels of that was a good time to sell him. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe he'll continue to do that, and I wish I would have him on the team, but we'll see what I can acquire for the second, whether it's in season or next year, or even maybe in the rookie draft. We'll see, but that's a move I made. And then one other league where, again, liquidating a player that frankly wasn't going to make my lineup this week, so I'm kind of happy that I was able to ship him off. Giving up Chase Edmonds and getting David Bell and a 23 second. So the idea there was actually, all week, even last week before the week, I was trying to sell Edmonds because it seemed like, okay, he's going to be behind Raheem Mostert. So what could I do to make it better? I felt like I'm deep enough at running back. I don't actually need a running back for him. Can I just get a pick? Can I just liquidate and get a flexible asset? So I was trying to get seconds or a third and extra piece. And then, Gator J, who I co-host the Dynasty Gambit with on the Going for Two Live network, he was talking, what do you want for Chase Edmonds? And I said, a second and an extra piece. He sent me the second and David Bell. And I remember I had sent out an offer of Chase Edmonds, giving away Chase Edmonds to get a second and Michael Carter. And that got rejected. And I actually think this is a better trade. So I'm happy that other one got rejected. I think I'd rather have the future asset of David Bell. I think the idea with Michael Carter is I have Breece Hall, so having the handcuff might have been nice. Kind of like this better, getting extra wide receiver depth. I don't really need him to hit my lineup. I've got really good wide receiver depth in this league. Bateman, London, Mike Williams, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins. So having all those pieces, like David Bell, someone I can stash, have the second as a liquid asset, and it's a one QB league, so maybe the picks are a little bit devalued, but now I've got a first and 2 seconds to kind of help myself this year, or again, if I want to trade them, the best time to trade them would be right before the rookie draft. But right before I get out of here, just want to let everyone know to you can find and follow both myself and Brad on Twitter. Brad's at @therundown_BH. I'm at Senra Says. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. Also want people to check out PA the Second on Twitter, @PA_II official. He lets us use the song Wallet as our intro and outro music, so really appreciate PA for that. And yeah, hope you check out all of his music, which you can find wherever you download music, including his most recent album, the Illa V album, and that is where you'll find the song Wallet. So again, hopefully Brad and his family stay safe with the hurricane warning in Florida. Same with everyone who's in Florida. Hopefully Brad will be back next week and we can continue our normal rankings debate. But I just wanted to kind of share some thoughts that I have, A, with consensus rankings, but B, just a couple trade thoughts as well. So really appreciate everyone for listening to this episode of the Full Press Fantasy Pod.